Coastguard is midway through its biggest capital overhaul in a half century. But it will need the right people to man the new ships and carry out its 21st century missions. Joining me to discuss the new Coast Guard Human Capital Plan here at the Sea Air Space Conference at National Harbor, Commandant Paul Zukunft. Admiral, great to have you back.
Hey, Tom, it's great to be here. Thank you.
All right, let's start with that new human capital strategy. What is it, what's in it, and what do you hope to accomplish with it?
First, I'm delighted with the great strides we're making on our recapitalization of our capital plan of the Coast Guard. And as you know, we've got a number of strategies that go with that. But since 1790, we've never really had a strategy of how do you manage talent in the United States Coast Guard. We would often pride ourselves of being a jack of all trades, but maybe a master of some, or maybe not even a master of any of those, because we were so diversified in what we did. So one, we need to look at greater specialization. We need to look at how do we not just recruit, train, but more importantly, how do we retain a workforce of the 21st century? Unlike some of the other services, I'm very dependent upon that 25-year-old and older segment of our society to serve, because we put a lot of responsibility on our junior, mid-grade, enlisted, and junior officers as well. So we need to make sure that we're retaining these folks into the 21st century.
And so what will you do differently now to try to get them to stay around?
Well, one is, you know, why do they leave? And we need to get a better understanding of why do people leave. When I look at the great strides we've made in bringing women into the Coast Guard Academy, today the Coast Guard Academy is more diverse than it's ever been in its history. Great. 40% of the class of 2018 and 19 are women. 33% are underrepresented minorities. So within this, there's a diversity and inclusiveness segment. But 10 years later, I look at how are we doing retaining women? And we lose 50% out of a given year group 10 years out.
So that's a big investment that goes down the drain.
So it's a big front-end investment. And so then why do people leave? And then why do people stay? You know, I have moved 21 times in my Coast Guard career. In 39 years, 21 moves. That's a lot of moving around.
At least you don't collect too much junk in the house.
You don't. But when you're trying to manage two careers, husband, wife, raise a family, the displacement that comes with each one of those moves, it gets more difficult. Maybe it's that one extra move where people decide, I'm tired of moving. And we provide folks very fungible skills that can be leveraged in the public and private sector, and perhaps with a more competitive salary where people will say, I've enjoyed my time with the Coast Guard, but I can't do this, so I'm going to move on. So we're looking at maybe greater geographic stability, growing subject matter experts. But at the end of the day, by the time you get to mid-career, you know, do you have that true connection to what the mission is? You know, just the NASA model. If you were to ask anyone at NASA, what do you do? I'm putting a man on the moon. Anybody in our service, officer, enlisted, civilian, should be able to resonate with the missions they do, whether on the front line or if the back line supporting those missions.
And those missions have expanded, too, recent decades.
Yeah, they've expanded. The oceans have. Well, they've expanded only because ice has retreated. And so we now find ourselves operating in areas that are literally uncharted because they've been covered with ice for centuries. And now we're seeing those open up in the warmer months.
By the way, just an aside question, with cruise ships and those kinds of vessels starting to traverse the Arctic, is that a Coast Guard issue now? You got to make sure we can retrieve them if something happens.
Well, absolutely, Tom. Today we have a C-130 flying the International Ice Patrol in the Northern Atlantic, and we've been surveilling icebergs in the Northern Atlantic ever since the sinking of the Titanic back in 1912. So if we do have an event with a cruise ship in the high latitudes, one, it's a search and rescue mission, but how do we make that transit more safe in an area that only roughly 5% of that is charted to modern day standards, literally navigating in uncharted waters up there?
We're speaking with Paul Zukunft. He's the Commandant of the Coast Guard here at the Sea Air Space Conference at National Harbor. And I also wanted to ask you about something fairly new at the Coast Guard, and that is the Science and Technology Innovation Center, what it is and what it will do. And the bigger question is, what are the science and technology needs unique to the Coast Guard that maybe are different from, for example, the Navy?
Well, there's no better venue than to be here at Sea Air and Space as we talk about technology and the pace of technological change. So we created the center at our Research and Development Center in New London, Connecticut. It actually comes under the auspices of the Department of Homeland Security, of which the Coast Guard is a member. And so it looks at a departmental-wide approach of leveraging technology for all of the components. We work daily interoperating with FEMA, with ICE, with Immigrations and Customs, Immigration Services, with CBP, among others, U.S. Secret Service. So this is really a center of expertise and technology for all of the department looking for evolving technologies. But the key piece of this is how do we accelerate the movement of technology and bringing new technology into the components of DHS?
I imagine surveillance and listening in types of things, especially when dealing with like transnational crime and drug syndicates, which the Coast Guard is heavily involved in, that must be a big piece of it, the surveillance ISR, if you will.
Yeah, and a lot of it is, we talk about border security. We're focused on maritime border security, and because of our authorities, we draw the border at the territorial sea of another nation that may be several thousand miles away from the United States. So we really have global borders that are out there, and our approach is if there's a threat destined for the United States, we can leverage all these unique authorities that Coast Guard, CBP, and others have, so we can meet that threat as far away from the United States as possible and not wait until that threat is now in one of our major ports.
Now, sometimes naval systems are adapted for use by the Coast Guard. And earlier we spoke to John Burrow, who runs Navy's research and development test and evaluation. And he was talking about things like directed energy as a new type of weapon systems. Can you envision when that type of technology might be aboard a Coast Guard ship, cutter, that you could stop something with directed energy instead of a 57-millimeter round?
Yeah. We traditionally don't find ourselves in a naval gunfire support role. In fact, many times we find ourselves more in a law enforcement capacity. And so I start looking at, you know, what are the threats going to be in the next 15, 20 years? Obviously, if you're using directed energy, you need the generating system that can then provide that wattage, if you will, to apply that. So right now that is not being built into our new ships to have that type of, we always space, weight, and power. So that would require some rather invasive work to be done to be able to support some of those technologies.
All right, so right now it's thinking about it, but not really something that you could envision mounting at this point.
Not in the near term.
All right, so what else do we need to know about the Coast Guard going into, you know, the second half of a fiscal year that's pretty pivotal?
Well, we've had a great appropriation of 2016, as I shared on the floor today, you know, the largest appropriation ever in Coast Guard history. Modernizing at a rate that we had, quite honestly, had not envisioned across all of our lines of effort, both on the air, on the ground, at sea, and in the air, and even, you know, making some inroads on our shore infrastructure. So that in itself is a good news story, but that's 1 year. So what I'm working with is more predictability in terms of what's in the next year and actually in a five-year cycle appropriation, so we don't find ourselves having wild vacillations that then cause a challenge in the out years. We're going to build new ships, but if we cut that acquisition in half, I'm going to have to tell a shipyard manager that they'll probably have to lay workers off because we can't produce the rate at what we thought we could. And so it has an immediate impact on those shipyard workers as well, not just the Coast Guard, but we're mindful of the industry itself.
And as you check around Capitol Hill, are you getting the right kind of signals as they deliberate what they're going to do for 2017?
I've been very pleased with the support that we've been getting from this administration and from our authorizers and from our appropriators.
All right. Admiral Paul Zukunft is Commandant of the Coast Guard here at the Sea Air Space Conference at National Harbor. Thanks so much for joining me.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Great to be here.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.